All right, if you will, this morning, or this evening, take out your Bibles. Come with me as we continue our journey. Tonight we have the sixth saying from the cross, and it's in John 19, verse 30. It's John 19, verse 30. And it reads this way. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Let us pray. O Lord, how great thou art. I thank thee, Lord, for thy great mercy. I thank thee, Lord, for these words that are in our text tonight. I thank thee, Lord, that thou, in saying them, hast finished everything for thy church. O Lord, may you indeed bless us with the faith tonight to see what you have done, to apprehend what you have done, to praise thy name for what you have done. And Lord, give us thankful hearts and give us hearts of joy this night. And Lord, I pray and I ask and beseech thee, Lord, that you would meet us here, that you would meet us in thy word, and that you would open the veil that we may see thee. We may have access to the Father through thee tonight, as it pleases you. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It is finished. Those words, when he uttered those words from the cross, it was not a sigh of relief. For all the agony and everything that he went through and the exhaustion that he had, these words, "It is finished," had nothing to do with that. These words were words of victory. This was him proclaiming that all that the Father had given him, that he said in his high priestly prayer in John 17:4, he said, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do." And then he went to the cross, and he said these words, "It is finished." The complete salvation for his church is finished. Now I want you to think about that, and you probably know some people, and you probably are one of those people. And we all have ideas of things we'd like to do before we die. The world calls it a bucket list. And they say these are the things we want to accomplish before we die. And most, if not all of men, die before they accomplish what they want to do. This one, the God-man, when he dismissed his spirit, he had total power upon his life to lay it down. And he only laid it down because his work was completely finished. And all that he ever wanted to do, and all that he willed to do, was done. And we're going to talk about that tonight. This is a fulfillment of what the Lord revealed to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Now I want you to listen to me as I read this, or you can turn there. This was the prophecy given to Daniel when Daniel saw the day, the time where Christ would come in time. He said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. That's the first thing. When the Lord said it is finished, he fulfilled finishing the transgression. That does not mean that sin is eradicated from the earth. It means it is eradicated from the church. It is done. It is paid for. And then it says, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. The bondage of those sins, the penalty of those sins, the condemnation of those sins are done, are put away. Because he said it is finished. Because he paid for them perfectly. He finished our salvation that he set out to do. That ain't all. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. So he made reconciliation by saying it is finished, by giving up the ghost, by joining God, the offended party, who is offended in all mankind who fell in Adam because now they have sinned and he cannot even look upon them. But our mediator reconciled us to the Father when he said it is finished. When he died on the cross, he brought two warring parties together and made peace. Our enmity now is gone because of Christ. Because of the new nature of Christ in us, we're not at enmity with the Lord. Our old nature is, but we as a church and as a believer are not at enmity with the Father anymore because of the intercessory and mediatorial work of Christ on the cross. And not only that, to bring in everlasting righteousness. His righteousness and his perfect obedience brought in an everlasting righteousness for you and I. For all the church that's perpetual. As many that will be born on this earth or birthed into the kingdom will have his righteousness. It's everlasting. It will never go away. That robe that we're robed in is his righteousness. No man can take that from us. That's his perfect obedience that is imputed to us, put on us, so that the Father sees that robe of righteousness. It's everlasting. And to bring in everlasting life, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So that's what it is. He fulfilled all things. He sealed up the vision and the prophecy. All the prophets that spoke about him, all that was given to the Old Testament people in the wilderness, all the ceremony, the ceremonial law, all of the ordinances, all of the commandments, he sealed them all up. They're fulfilled in him. We're going to get to that. All in that passage that he gave Daniel. Daniel saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw the purpose of Christ coming in time and the time. And this was fulfilled. And he laid down his life and he said, "It is finished." And he dismissed the spirit. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. So tonight I want to talk about a few things that he finished what he came to do. What did he come to do? What are those things? And I've just got a few of them I wrote down and some scripture to go along with that. My desire tonight, my desire for you and for me, is that we see in the Word and not just see. That we enter into the Word of God and it shows us what he's done for you and I. It has to be personal. If it's not, it won't do you any good. It has to be, this has to be your personal Savior. This is what he's done for you. That's what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. That Christ has done this for me. We have talked for week after week now, we keep going back to the cross for all of these things and statements. And they're so, all of them are so very deep. And I won't exhaust what he finished tonight. I can't. Anything you could possibly think of in these scriptures, he fulfilled and finished. What does that mean for you and I? There's nothing left for you and I to do. We are recipients of grace. Unmerited favor. No merit in us at all. Nothing we've done. So of course the first thing I've already hinted on is his Father's will. That's what he came to do. He came to do his Father's will. We're told that in Hebrews. Paul writes in Hebrews 10, 7 and 9. And we'll read this again in a minute. We'll go there in a few minutes. He said, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. To do thy will, O God." Then in verse 9 he said, "Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first." That was the first covenant that God made with man. And that was all the pictures and the types and the shadows of Christ to come. He took that away by fulfilling it. He abolished all of those things. You and I don't have an altar anymore. We don't have a sacrifice. He's our altar. He's our sacrifice. He abolished all of that. That's why we're not sacrificing animals. He's the perfect. We're going to get to that in just a second. But that's the first thing I want you to understand. He fulfilled and He did. He came to do. It is finished. He finished His Father's will. Now think about that. Let that sink in a minute. The Father's will, before there was ever time, before there was ever people, before there was ever an earth, before there was ever any matter, there was any space, before there was anything. And I know we can't get there because we only know that. But before there was any of that, there was a council. And the Father's will was made known. I am going to elect a people. We're going to create a people, and I'm going to elect a people. And the Son said, I will go and die for those people. And the Holy Spirit said, I will seal those people until the day of redemption, until their day that they go to be with the Lord. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're kept. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us Christ, what He did on the cross, what the Father's plan is. What did Jesus say? It is finished. He came and He finished everything His Father wanted Him to finish. So everything is secured now. That's why I said when we sang that song, what a day that will be. There won't be that day without the Lord saying it is finished. And when He said it is finished, it's in His mind and in the mind of the Father and in the mind of the Holy Ghost that there will be a day and time where there will be no more time. And the Lord will come again and judge this earth. What a day that will be. Why will we have that day? Because He said it is finished. He finished it all. The salvation, the everything that will come next in your life, whether you pass from this life and go to be with Him, whether He brings you back, whether we're here when He comes again, whatever, it's finished. It's unchangeable. That's what that means. The Father's will is finished. And then He left us the Word, which we'll get to reveal to us what is finished. What has Christ done? So that's the first thing. He finished His Father's will. Well, what else did He come to do? He came to save His people. That's what they will call His name Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. That's Matthew 1:21. Well, Paul said this in 1 Timothy 1:15. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That means it's worthy for all of us to accept this. It's accepted by faith. As the Holy Spirit reveals, accept this, that Jesus Christ came, that Christ Jesus came into the world for a purpose, and that was to save sinners. And Paul even added, of whom I am chief. And that's what the Holy Spirit reveals to every child of God. I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the one that put Christ on the cross. I'm the one that has sinned much worse and done much more egregious sins than that person across the room or that person sitting next to me. That's what the Holy Spirit convinces the child of God of sin. And when He convinces us of sin, that we are sinners, we're not looking at sins of other people. We can't even lift our heads because of the sins of ourselves. That's the sorrow we have over sin. He came to save His people from that, those sins. He came to, and that's, it is finished. Our salvation now is finished. My blood has flowed from the cross and has covered the multitude of your sins. My blood has covered them all. My righteousness will cover you. I've paid all your debt for all of those sins. You will now have no condemnation because you're in me. And I brought you to the cross and I died for you there. That's why Paul could say I was crucified with Christ. Yet I live, yet not I. It's Christ who lives in me. We owe everything to Him. That's Christ is all and in all. And He has done all things well. That's what I want you. I want you to understand that tonight. I want you to apprehend it. I pray the Holy Ghost opens these passages and says, this is what He did for me. The next thing He did is He fulfilled all types. I've already mentioned this. He met all types and promises and prophecies of the Scriptures. Just like what we read in Daniel. When Daniel said he sealed up the vision and the prophecy. So he came and He fulfilled all those types. The ark pointed to him, rescuing His people and them being safe in Him as He died on that cross. As all the storms of life come and all the waters flow, that's Him. That's our Lord. He fulfilled that. He was the Ark of the Covenant. He was the mercy seat. He was all the pieces of the temple and everything. He was everything. He fulfilled it all. Now, I want you to go to our first place tonight. We're going to go to quite a few. Go with me to Hebrews 10, if you will. Let's hear those Bibles flipping. Hebrews 10. Bear with me now. We're going to read the first 14 verses. This is what He came to do. This is what He finished. Okay? Listen to these. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, that's Christ, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. They kept coming every year, and they make a sacrifice. Well, as soon as they walked out of that place, or before they even finished the sacrifice, they had sinned again. And guess what they needed? Another sacrifice. Another sacrifice. So that's what he said. The law that was put in place for them to bring these sacrifices, it wasn't perfect. It was a shadow of what was to come. Of who was to come? Christ. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. They'd still be offered if it was perfect. Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But they still had a conscience of sin. It was a picture. It was a type. It was a shadow. It was pointing to Christ. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. See, he's a sacrifice one time. He put those sins away one time. And then the Holy Spirit reveals to us over and over what He did to us. Well, He's not crucified afresh every time. He died once for sins. He's the perfect sacrifice. His blood and the Father accepted that sacrifice and He said, it is perfect. This is satisfied by justice. It had never been satisfied by them other ones. Couldn't do it. It was just the blood of animals. Okay, that's what he tells us in 4. Because it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, this is Christ, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body that is prepared for me. That body that was prepared for him was the sacrifice. That's why I come. Those other sacrifices, they mean nothing to me. They mean nothing to the Father. My body's been prepared to let... That's what we're celebrating tonight. This victory. It is finished. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh, this is Paul summarizing, he takes away the first, that he may establish the second covenant, the covenant of grace that's in Christ Jesus. The final covenant. The covenant. That's the one you and I live in. That's the one ratified by his blood, and we'll get to that. By the which will, by this, by Christ's sacrifice, we are sanctified, made holy, set apart for His use through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Once. That's how powerful this sacrifice is. So we're not looking every year and saying, when it comes to that time of year, we go, oh, this is the only time we're going to recognize. No, because that's a living, that's what he is. He's life. He gave us life over sin. He gave us life over ourselves. He gave us life over death. He gave us life over the wicked one. And He did that by, "It is finished." And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Look at verse 12. But this man, the man Christ Jesus, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's where he is today. Right hand means power. He sat right next to God and he's ruling and reigning today as that perfect sacrifice. And that's what you and I look to. We look to the sacrifice of Christ. We don't look to the merit of ourselves. We look to the grace that's in Christ that He died for us in our place. Let me see how far I'm going here. 14. From henceforth, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. He's always reigning until that day. And then He's still reigning, but there'll be a day that He puts all in. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And then He says, for by one offering He has perfected them forever that are sanctified. We're perfected. That means we're perfect in Christ's sacrifice. His blood really does cover all of our sins. His righteousness really does cover us from head to toe. Meaning the Father cannot see any part of us. He sees His Son, us in His Son, and His Son's righteousness. That's the beauty. That's what He fulfilled all those times, all those promises, all those prophecies of the Scriptures. He did it all. He fulfilled all the commandments now have been fulfilled. That's what Romans 10:4 said. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's the end of the law. He fulfilled the law. The law is holy. It's just. The law shows us how holy the Father is. How holy God is. It's needful. But praise God that He came and fulfilled it all. Every jot and tittle. And as I said, it is. I hate that terminology that we hear sometimes, and I don't know if you guys have heard it. I hear it a lot in Christian circles or whatever it is you hear on TV. Judeo-Christian, there is no such thing. All that's been fulfilled. They try to bring in the Jewish and the Jewish morality and their moral laws and their ceremonial laws and this is what... No. No, we're Christians because we're in Christ. Christ fulfilled all that. We don't talk about those things of having any kind of righteousness. Christ has it because He did it. That's what it is finished. Don't bring those sacrifices. Don't bring those. Oh, we got to live by this law. We got to live by this ordinance. Well, how is it I'm going to eat out there in the world? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to the Bible. Let's see how the people ate in the Old Testament. And that's what we'll eat and we'll be better off or we'll be healthy. No. Christ has fulfilled all that. If you're looking for any of that for righteousness, you're looking in the wrong place. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. It's found in Him. He fulfilled all that. So we don't give any place to any of that. Not even any thought to it. But that's not all. Because of what, and I hope you're still in Hebrews 10, because we're coming right back to Hebrews 10. Now we have open access to the Father. That's what Hebrews 10 is going to tell us here in a minute. When He said it is finished, remember what happened? Remember the veil rented? That was a picture. That Old Testament veil that only the high priest could go behind, and the people weren't allowed in there. Now it's rented in two. You know what that means? You and I can go in there. We can go in the Holy of Holies. You know what the Holy of Holies? That's in the presence of God. Well, how in the world can... I can only go through Christ. Christ rent the veil. He went through the veil. And now we go through the veil in Christ. That's what this is going to say. Look at Hebrews 10. Look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. That's our communion with the Father. That's us at the... And that was the other song we sang tonight. Sweet Hour of Prayer. We don't have prayer. We don't have a throne to come to if Christ didn't say it is finished and open the veil. We now, the Father bids us to come, and we come through the Son. He's our mediator. He's our intercessor. He takes our prayers and offers them to the Father. He presents them to the Father on our behalf. And listen, here's the best part about our prayers. They're authored by the Holy Ghost. You're going to see that here at the end of the sermon tonight. That's another reason that we rejoice that it is finished. Because if He didn't go away and He didn't finish it, He wouldn't have sent the Holy Spirit. But He did. So He says, look at 20, by a new and living way. Okay, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us. He's made it holy. Through the veil, that is to say His flesh. And having this high priest over the house of God. That's what He's done now. Because we now, it says 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from all evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The Lord now, our sacrifice, our sanctification, He's our holiness. He's our intercessor. He's our altar. He's the one, He's our presenter of prayers. He's everything. And because of Him now, we have access to the Father. You know, does this make better sense now why the Bible in the New Testament calls the people of God priests? Kings and priests? Well, the priest is the only one that's got access to the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. That's right. But we're priests now in Christ Jesus. We have access. We have access to the Father through the Son. Guys, that's not all. He has finished eternal redemption for His church. Eternal redemption. You can't lose it. He's redeemed us. He's bought us with the price of His own blood. The debt's been paid. Paul said it in Hebrews 9:12. He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, which is what we just read, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal. Forever. We can't lose our salvation. We can't sin away grace. We're kept. We're preserved. Why? It is finished. It is finished. And then what we read in Daniel, He brought in everlasting righteousness. Go with me now to Romans 3. But we're coming back to Hebrews here in a minute. So just go to Romans 3 with me for a second. Look at Romans 3. He brought in everlasting righteousness. Romans 3, 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That's the atonement. That's what we're talking about. It is finished. God has set Him forth to be that. Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And then Paul says it again. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. Paul kept saying, I want to declare His righteousness. I don't want to declare mine. Mine are filthy rags. Oh, I wish the Lord would teach us that. Oh, I wish that our conversation would be so ordered that we praise the name of Christ all the time and we're never talking about ourselves. That's what you hear here. That's what you hear. To declare, I say this, His righteousness. What He's done, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Jesus is the just. He's the judge who says you're not guilty. That means you're justified. You're now not guilty. You can stand before the Father because you're robed in His righteousness. That's what it is finished. That robe is perfect. He's obeyed perfectly now. And you know those scriptures that tell us he went through every temptation, that if you and I are tempted, he could succor us. And he's seen it all. He's done it all. He's went through everything that you and I will go through. Except he didn't have sin. So that tells me he knows the way through it. And here's the beauty of it. He is the way through it. And I mentioned this earlier. He came to ratify. You know what ratify means? His blood ratified this covenant. It sealed it. But it made it legal. You know, we make out wills and things in this life so that when we die, we leave things to our families. You know, I've got life insurance policies that if I pass away, that Stephanie is taken care of, or if Stephanie goes, and the children are taken care of. But they're only in effect when? When I die. They can't take this policy down to the bank and say, this money's mine now, because I'm still alive. It's not going to do you any good. Now keep that in your mind when you turn to Hebrews 9. Because that's exactly, if you've ever read Hebrews 9, maybe it's made you stumble a little bit because of the words that Paul used. Lost my place. Here we go. Okay, Hebrews 9. Now listen to these words. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Our inheritance, which is what I just told you about a will, you don't get that unless the testator dies. That's what Paul's going to say. For where a testament is, look at 16, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. It is finished. He ratified the covenant by dying on the cross. He's the testator. He said, I bequeath my last will and testament is for my church to have everything, but he must die first. Right? That's what Paul said. Where the testament is, there's also a necessity of the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth, which is what I told you, the example I used. So he had to die, and when he said it is finished, that will and that everything that he bequeathed and left to the church now is theirs. But here's the beautiful thing. He rose again. Because not only is he the testator, he's the guy that distributes everything in the will. I forget what that guy's name is. But anyway, he's the guy that sits there and says, okay, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. That's what he is. So upon his resurrection now, because now he has everything in him to bequeath through the church. The testator's alive. But he had to die. It is finished. And because of that, everything, the Father has given everything to the Son to dispense to his church. That inheritance we're given part of that inheritance here. That's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's his faith, his love. Everything we get from Christ here. But there's so much more. There's so much more. Now, I was just talking to Steph about that. When we pass from this life, when the church, when judgment is over, and the Lord makes that new heavens and the new earth, and the church lives in that new heavens and new earth, we are all just like Christ. We don't have any sin. We're conformed to His image. We're going to see Him as He is. We're going to be like Him. We're going to have that mind all the time. That's the eternal inheritance that we have because it is finished. His blood ratified it. It sealed that covenant. And the Father said, absolutely. I accept this payment. I accept this transaction because He did it. He did it for you and I. He stood in our place. That's the finished work that He came to do. And that, like I said, there's probably many things I didn't even touch on. But because of this, let's talk a minute. What was the proof that He finished the work? Well, the proof was His resurrection. It was finished. So now, what did Jesus say? I lay down my life that I take it up again. All of those gifts we have now, we need somebody to dispense those gifts. We need that one that's going to go, well, Christ, that's me. See, that's what I'm telling you. You go back in this Old Testament book, you look at all these types and shadows and things, they all talk of Christ. They all point to Christ. Everything's about Christ. Just in the New Testament too, when Jesus said, remember when He talked in John 10, He said, well, I'm the door. I'm the gate. I'm everything. I'm the shepherd. He's got all these names. We're not looking anywhere outside of Christ. We're looking to Christ for everything. And we're never looking to ourselves. Because there's nothing in us. Nothing. Now, if Christ is in us, then we have it all. We possess everything. Because we possess Him. And we'll only love Him, and we'll only have Him if He loved us first, right? Acts 17:31 says, because He's appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained, whereof He has given assurance unto all men, and that He raised Him from the dead. That's the assurance that day is coming. You know why? Because He was raised from the dead. He said it is finished. I already told you that. Everything was finished and is finished in Christ Jesus. He's taken the sting of death away. He's taken the condemnation away. He's taken the fear away. You understand that. You don't have any fears. You have no fears in your new nature. You trust Christ explicitly and totally and absolutely in that new nature. All your fears are in your old nature. And you know what, dear ones? We won't have that. We won't have that anymore. As He cried, it is finished, in victory, He laid down His life that He could take it up again. Just think. Now I want you to think of Him hanging there on the tree. These are the last moments. This is it. You know, we've got one more saying next week. You probably already know what that is. But He's about to dismiss His spirit and be done. And as He says, it is finished. His view from the cross. And He looks down on all of these men who doubt Him. He looks down and sees all the hordes of the devils. And all the demonic. And He sees it all. He has perfect vision. He can see all of those, all the enemies that have come together against Him. He sees it all hanging there. And with victory, He says, it is finished. And everything they conspired to do, they lost. They lost. That's what you and I point to. His victory. That's why top lady said, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. He wasn't talking about a piece of wood. He was talking about Christ's finished work. I cling to that because that's where everything is. That's where righteousness is. That's where life is. That's where grace is. That's where victory is over all of these enemies that are around me. He saw them all defeated. That's why I said he dismissed his spirit. We'll talk more about that next week. He said triumphantly, "It is finished." Because none can stay his hand and none can say to him, "Why are you doing what you're doing?" He's total power over the whole situation. Total sovereign. Now, I've hinted on this already. Because he finished the work on the cross, we now have the Holy Spirit to reveal him and his finished work. We have a scripture for that. Galatians 3. Turn with me over to Galatians 3, if you will. Galatians 3. Look at verse 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's what it said. Curse is every man that hangs on the tree. The curse of the law is the penalty of the law is what? Sin. When you sin, you must die. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So he fulfilled that by becoming the curse for us. Now listen to this. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's what Jesus told them there in that last time he met with his disciples. It's expedient for you that I go away. It's profitable for you that I go away, and I will send you the Comforter. And he will come and he will teach you all things that I've said. And that, when Jesus said it is finished, his work was finished. Now it's time to send the Holy Spirit so that you and I now have the earnest, we have the Holy Spirit in us revealing Christ. That's why we don't need pictures. We don't need crosses around our neck. We don't need beads to rub. We have the Holy Spirit revealing Christ. Because he's the only one who can. And now he sends his word. The Holy Spirit speaks through his word because it is finished. Turn me over to Ephesians 1. Last place we'll go. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Look at 11. It starts with "in whom." We know that's Christ, right? "In whom? In Christ also we have obtained an inheritance." That's what we've been talking about. "Being predestinated." That's that election before the foundation of the world. "According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." In whom? Christ. "Ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth." That's what we have. We have the word of truth now because Christ came. That Paul's preaching now after Christ died, after Christ is risen again. We now have the word of truth. We've trusted in Christ because faith has laid hold of Christ. The Father trusted his Son for all that he did. He placed everything in his hands. And he fulfilled his will and his everything perfectly. And now you and I trust him because of faith. Because of that Holy Spirit leads us to Christ and lays hold of faith. But Paul says we have the word now. We have the word. "In whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth." That's how important this word is, dear ones. He said it is finished. And he left us his word to reveal to us what's finished. That's why I'm coming full circle tonight. This is what I want you to take with you tonight. The importance of seeing what's finished for you. Is it personal? Because if it is, you'll come looking here. You'll come looking here in His Word. Because this is where He reveals what He's finished. In whom also, the gospel of your salvation, He says, in whom also, after you believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That's the Holy Spirit is sealing. That's what He's done to us. We are kept. We are preserved. And what is the Holy Spirit doing for us today? Revealing Christ. Pointing us to His finished work. Revealing to us all that He's done. He has done all things well. Now I'm going to leave you with this thought. What an abomination. And what a horrible thought. God forbid that it enters into our mind ever again that there's anything that we can add to or take from His finished work. Oh Lord, keep us from that free will mentality. That there's something we need to do for Him. It is finished. The judgment is finished. The resurrection is finished. The new heaven and new earth is finished. The plan, the perfect plan, is in effect and is still being executed because it is finished. In Christ Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, add Thy power, clarity, understanding, Lord, to Thy Word. Lord, I know how inadequate I am to even speak the words of what You've finished. But I know how adequate You are. I know how perfect Thy Spirit is to instruct in the things of You. Oh Lord, may You work in us tonight. Reveal to us the finished work. And make these words personal, effectual, and glorifying to Thee. Teach us, Lord, that it is finished. For this I ask in Jesus' name.